This episode is brought to you by Intuit, the technology platform that brings financial confidence with products like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. You might have learned the recorder in school, but probably not how to navigate the financial world. Luckily, Intuit's on a mission to help with the free Intuit for Education program. It provides students with the lessons to learn essential skills, like how to build credit, file taxes, and budget. Check out their free resources at intuit.com/education.
What's up and welcome back to the Kinda Funny Games cast. Of course, I'm Tim Geddes and I'm joined by the new face of video games, Blessing Adeoye Jr.
Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Bless. Joining us as well is the big daddy himself, Game Over Greggy, Greg Miller.
Bless, can that chair get any higher?
I can see it.
You're up there, man. Listen, up there right now.
This is the first time I've ever been the same height as Greg.
Rare air.
Yeah.
I'm worried about you. I'll come down.
Got enough circulation in his thighs.
What do you mean? This is my natural height. This is my natural height.
And rounding out the group today, it is the Texas Treat Latino Heat, clicking heads and ripping them to shreds, the globetrotting, headshotting Nitro Rifle from Twitch.tv, Andy Cortez.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
Great.
It is a great morning, everybody, because today Ragnarok is upon us. Of course, we got our copy provided by PlayStation. Thank you, PlayStation, for giving us copies of God of War Ragnarok. Enough copies that all four of us were able to beat this game. And now we're going to review this game for all of you. And that's going to be fun. We're all going to have a great time doing that. Normally, we do Kind of Funny Games daily during this time, live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames and youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. But this is such a big deal, Greg.
Mm-hmm.
We decided that we're going to get together 9 a.m. at embargo time of God of War Ragnarok reviews dropping, and we're going to do it live, baby.
Do it live.
We're doing it live.
So we're not even going to get into all the rigmarole and stuff yet. I want to get straight into it. What did we think of God of War Ragnarok? Blessing, I want to start with you. What do you give it on the Kinda Funny scale of 1 to 5?
On the Kinda Funny scale, I am giving it a 5 out of 5, which is our highest score that we can give.
Wow.
It is excellent. For me, the thing that sticks out the most, and this isn't a surprise for anybody if you like God of War. Since this was a God of War 2018, the story, I think, really carries this game and really makes this game a special video game. I think, for me, going into this game, the biggest hurdle that it had was living up to God of War 2018.
Sure.
Because God of War 2018 came through and rang the alarm, right? Like, it alerted all of us to, like, oh, shit, you know, Sony Santa Monica has the stuff, right? And I think for me, at least, the thing that game did excellently was, hey, it is a redefined Kratos. It is a new kind of God of War from the ground up. It is introducing the character of Atreus, and it is a different combat system than what we've seen from God of War, right? It's a bit more akin to, like, from software, behind the back, a bit
sure.
more methodical type of combat.
Read your enemy, use your weapons effectively.
Yeah, like, be more careful, you know, counter parry, do all that good stuff. God of War Ragnarok, I don't think, goes the direction of, hey, it's Last of Us Part 2, and it is a different game. It is next-gen. It is a step up, right? God of War Ragnarok feels like, when first picking it up, it feels like I'm picking up God of War 2018 back up again.
Sure.
And just continuing from where I left off.
Sure.
And that was actually a refreshing and I think good thing for this game, because it makes it feel cohesive, right? It makes it feel like I'm continuing the same story, and the places that this story goes are places that you would never expect, right? And I don't want to say too much because I know you guys got stuff to say, but, like, I am very impressed and very blown away by the story.
Greg Miller.
God of War Ragnarok is a 5 out of 5. It's an amazing game. It's one of those where you can say that two ways after that of, like, I don't feel like that's a surprise as anybody. And then also it's a huge surprise, because how do you follow up something like God of War 2018? And how do you iterate on something that was so successful, make it feel fresh, make it feel new, but also make it feel familiar and make it feel like you are hanging out with old friends and, like, you're getting into something you already know? Sony Santa Monica does it flawlessly. This is a fantastic game. It is a masterpiece. But I think, even saying all that, the thing that caught me the most off guard is that, for my money, and I got a lot of money, now I got a lot of opinions on video games, right? But for my money, this solidifies Kratos as the best character in video games. Like, the best character we've ever seen in video games. Like, the journey, obviously, of all the God of War games before 2018 set up a very specific Kratos. 2018 arrived and introduced Daddy Kratos, Sad Dad Kratos, and we saw him go from being a hardened shell of a man right there to being a little bit more open with Atreus at the end. And what we talked about in our PS I Love You preview, right, Bless, was the fact that this game picks up and it doesn't pick up where we immediately left off, right? Time has passed, Atreus is older, life has gone on for these two. But it does pick up with the seed that was planted of Kratos being a better father, being a more open father to Atreus, has grown into a tree. That has happened. That has continued to go on. They are a different dynamic. They are a different group. They are a different duo. And that continues to build so incredibly well in this game, Tim, where I cried in the beginning for a very specific thing that only Greg would probably cry about, right? But at the end, like, there is a moment in this game that we talk about video games as art all the time. And I feel like when we talk about, for the longest time, when you talk about video games as art, you would go, oh, well, Journey did this and made me feel that. Or there's this indie game like Florence or something like that. And obviously,
Divorce Dad.
Yeah, exactly. They're doing something very specific with it, right? And there is a cutscene at the near the end of this game, right? Pretty much the night before anything would ever happen, right? That is so incredibly well done, both from the performance of Christopher Judge, from the animation Sony Santa Monica did with his face, to the writing, to the visuals, too. It's like, this is like the thing I would go show somebody who's like, oh, well, what are video games? And you're like, this is what they can be. And that's, of course, no disrespect to the gameplay that surrounds it. That is familiar, but is still as engaging as ever, and does find ways to be new, does find ways to innovate on things we already know. I'm flabbergasted that they pulled this off. You know what I mean? There was every opportunity to not even fuck it up, right? But have something that was Horizon Forbidden West, a game we all loved for the most part. I think I'm speaking for everybody. A game we all loved, but was like
2 out of 5.
Yeah, you were really not
like it.
But it was more Horizon, and it was like, all right, cool. I want more Horizon. That's fine. But it didn't feel like, oh my god, this is different. We've taken Aloy. Like God of War Ragnarok is an incredibly special game.
Andy Quartz has.
Yeah, 5 out of 5, man.
Flabbergasted.
This game is wonderful. It really reminds me of going to the theater the night of Avengers Endgame and wondering how are they going to follow up the first part of this. Can it be better? And I think watching a preview from a friend of ours, SkillUp, and him mentioning that you immediately forget the idea of, can this be better than 2018? You kind of just throw that thought out of the window because you're just enjoying the game so much. And I think the performances are just out of this world. The combat is a lot more fun, and they find ways to keep things fresh without making it feel like you are getting repetitive in any way. I think I don't think it's a perfect game. I still think that, like, for whatever reason,
does a perfect game exist?
I'm talking about Tetris.
Hyperlight Drifter, yeah.
Inside.
I think
Elden Ring.
I think there are some like pacing issues near the end, and it could just be because I main path it or whatever, but I still think that like it delivers on every front that you'd want. This game is absolutely amazing. 5 out of 5, must buy, absolutely.
One thing I want to bring up, right, regarding one of the main points that I think does make this game stand out compared to God of War 2018 is the scope of the story, yeah. Right? Because, like, you know, God of War 2018 was very much focused on Kratos and Atreus and their relationship, and it had a very focused goal, right? It is us going up a mountain to spread Atreus's mother's ashes, right? And everything that happens in the story happens kind of around that one specific goal. God of War Ragnarok, I think, takes what 2018 sets up and turns it from this focused story into an epic and succeeds at it,
yeah,
in a way that I could never expected, right? There is like a moment later on into the game where I had similar feelings of how I felt watching the Harry Potter movies as a kid, where I'm like, wow, this world can be this expansive, and like, wow, there's so much mystery and so much potential here, right? There are places they go that made me think about Norse mythology. And I probably could say this about 2018 too, but I think this one doubles down on it and takes it way further. The way I'm thinking about this Norse world in this game, I'm like, yo, I want like 3 sequels, 3 spinoffs of this thing. Like, they really blew it wide open, and it feels like God of War 2018 being God of War 1 in this scenario, right? This feels like playing God of War 2 and 3, just in terms of where they take it, in terms of the length of it, how jam-packed it is. Like, one thing we haven't mentioned yet is that this game is probably nearly twice as large as the original, like twice as long.
It's beefy.
Yeah, by the time we finished the game, I was like, dude, I can't believe this is still going. And I think that kind of leads into some of the pacing stuff that Andy's sure. talking about, which I think I agree with that quite a bit. But the fact that there's so much in here and it is so quality and there's so much dialogue and good contextual dialogue and, like, there's so much just world-building stuff that is going to make you fascinated with this world. That's the stuff that really blew me away with this as a sequel.
Well, Timothy, what did you think?
You know, there was Infinity War, then there's Endgame. There's Last of Us, then Last of Us Part 2. And in this case, there is God of War 2018 and then God of War Ragnarok. This is a 5 out of 5. This is undeniably as good as its predecessor, debatably better. And I do think that it's what day is it? What are you actually talking about?
That's going to be a story there. Recency bias aside and stuff like that, it'll be interesting as we get deeper into conversations about God of War throughout our lifetime to see where we come down on that.
I think that for like all the properties that I just named, there is it is subjective to it. I feel like at some point it's subjective in terms of the polish, in terms of like the accomplishments, in terms of the technical aspects XYZ. But then there is the subjective, well, I prefer this character and they were better in this game 100%. Or whatever it is, that stuff. So you can kind of fall there. So for me personally, I fall on the sequel to all three of those. I'm an Endgame person, I am a Last of Us 2 person, and I am a God of War Ragnarok person. I was enthralled every single moment that I was playing through this game. I did way more side stuff than you guys did.
Yeah, you beat it, right?
I did beat it.
What are your hour? What's your hour count on your save?
So my hour count is 35 hours.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is a lot. And I kept talking to them like throughout. I was like, I'm at this many hours. Like, how much more of the game? They're like, you have a lot more game. And I realized, like, oh, I'm doing side stuff. But I was doing side stuff, not realizing that it was side stuff
because
it was
so good.
It felt so important. And I was like, I don't want to miss this. And I know I can go back, but it feels so perfectly ingrained and intertwined with the story that they're telling. And the story they're telling is, Bless was saying this, it is so much bigger than I ever would have expected. We get teased with, we get pure North stuff, right, in the first one. But then we get teased with the stuff we actually care about, the stuff that we actually know and all this stuff. And I think that this game is coming out at the perfect time of being able to play with the mainstream's kind of understanding of things. Like, we just had a movie with Ragnarok in the title 4 years ago, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. We know what Ragnarok is. So, like, seeing them deal with that, it's cool because I feel like there's a level of familiarity that I wouldn't have when they're just talking about, like, some of these gods and some of these characters. And I feel like it's great to, like, be familiar, but this game is the king of subverting expectations in ways of characters. You hear their name, you're like, I know what they're gonna do, and then they do something different, and you're like, that's weird, but it totally feels earned. It totally feels like you guys have built this world that, despite being so different than what I expected to be, it feels absolutely right.
Every single thing that they set up narratively has unexpected but satisfying payoff.
Yeah.
Like, every single time I'm like, I did not see that coming, and that was really cool the way you twisted that. And I had that over and over and over again.
And it really feels like, I think that the put it on the box quote for me is like, it felt like they held nothing back. Like, they were for just sure. like, is there a cool thing we could do for this? It doesn't feel like, oh, this is part two of a trilogy or we need a sequel or whatever. I definitely want a sequel. I hope that we get a sequel. I'm sure we'll get a sequel. But like, this really feels they're like, no. We got to go all out for this. Like, whatever we can do, we should do. If it makes sense. And luckily enough, it all made sense. I just spent all that time talking about just the story. That's how into just the story I am. I don't know if a game's ever played better than this. It's just so damn fun to play. Yeah. Is it absolutely perfect? No. I have nitpicks here and there. I think the menus are a little over-designed and convoluted, but that's where I'm at with this game. It is 5 out of 5.
Gear and relics and all the stuff here, I found it overwhelming, right? Because it was just like, oh my gosh, there's so much here, but I'm just trying to do this, but I come back into there. And like, eventually you get your head wrapped around like any other game, but it is like, when you go into that menu, it is a menu. There is a lot going on in there, and you have to go through and figure out what that means to you.
Yeah. So before we get into even more in-depth thoughts with everything, I do want to get through the rigmarole of the show. Of course, this is the Kind of Funny Games Cast. Each and every week, we get together right here to talk about video games and all the things that we love about them. You could watch it on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, or you can go to twitch.tv. So no, that's not right. You can't do that. But you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny to get the show ad-free and watch it live as we record it. Just like our Patreon producers, we have so many of you because of your support in October for the launch of The Spare Bedroom, the new Kind of Funny Studios. So thank you to Morgan, Lorraine, Fargo Brady, Christopher Rodriguez, the Kind of Funny Destiny 2 PC Clan, Talltree 81, Joseph A. Carlson, 1UP Pest Control, Carrie Palmer, Elliot, Brian Cheney, Trevor Starkey, Super Daddy Kyle, which always makes me Smile, Undertopian, David Mintel, Eric Velasquez, Scotty Wyatt, Alex Gradle, Al Tribesman, Jason L., James Davis Makes, the Nanobiologist, Ryan T. from Tennessee, Derek Rarick, and Donald Eccles. Thank you all so very much. Today, we are brought to you by Rocket Money and the Lord of the Rings official podcast and chime, but we'll tell you about that later. I want to get right back into it. God of War Ragnarok. Greg, where do you want to take us next?
I think we should go to gameplay. I think we've spent so much time in this thing talking about the story time with the characters, and we're not done with that. And this is also one of those games that I was excited to do this review. I am stoked to do the spoiler cast.
Oh,
the spoiler
cast
is the one where I want to go and go and go and talk about it.
Thank you for that note, Greg. The spoiler cast is happening. It will be going down on Monday, November 21st. It'll be a special PS I Love You with director Eric Williams. Very, very exciting. Oh. So get hyped for that. Cannot wait.
Yeah, it's going to be really tough to kind of name things that maybe turned us off or got us really, really excited without being able to kind of specify anything. Yeah. So just understand that we're going to be speaking in, like, extremely vague terms.
This is one of those games that I'd say is probably made by, like, a lot of spoiler content, right? Like, in terms of, like, reveals and moments, all the shit. Like, a lot of the stuff that brings this game up to a 5 out of 5 for us, I would think, is stuff that we don't necessarily want to spoil for people. And I've seen that go around on, like, Twitter.
And it's not just story stuff. There's so much, like, regarding gameplay and level design and environments and stuff. And there's a lot of things that are all this I wouldn't want spoiled for me.
And we'll do our best, obviously, to avoid all that. And, you know, it is a spoiler for
your
review.
We're going to do our best.
Well, you know how spoilers be different better to everybody, right? You can say anything.
Be better.
Be better. Don't be spoiler free. Be better. gameplay, though, I think is an interesting place to start, right? Because I think, you know, Bless especially on PS I Love You, we did that first 5 hours for the preview, right? Mm-hmm. And we had a conversation on that episode, which was like, it feels like more God of War 2018, and that's great. We love God of War 2018, but will this last and will this go and yada yada yada. And I said on that show, you know, I'm interested to see what happens next. Because 2018, when we did the preview embargo, it stopped when I walked up with the boar. And then right after that, right, you get a cutscene. And then right after that, it's open world. And that was like the big reveal. It was like, oh my God, there's a compass and icons and all these different things.
How long did it take you to beat?
Oh, we didn't do that, did we? No. I golden pathed it, and I did it in 26.
Oh, yeah, I didn't. I left my PS5 on idle a lot. There would be times I would just leave the game running and, like, work on something on my computer.
Sure.
So I got to estimate it was around 27 to 28. I did, like, one side mission near the beginning.
Yeah, I did a couple in the beginning, too, and then I was like, and I got to go. I got to make sure I get this done.
Yeah, and then I got a DM from some other people on the game. Reviewing the game, actually.
Christopher Judge.
Christopher Judge is not DMing me now. He did kind of let me know, like, oh, yeah, this is a lot bigger than part one. And I saw some people saying, like, oh, 35 for Tim, that's not a whole lot. I probably put around 40 into part one the first time that I went around. I do think that this story is, like, at least 10 hours longer.
Easily.
Yeah, because we did, we just replayed God of War 2018. Like, the three of us just replayed it, right? And I main pathed it. I main pathed the hell out of it. And I want to say I beat it in, like, 14 hours.
Yeah.
And this game, I also main pathed for the most part. I did some side stuff, but I was really like, okay, I'm going to finish this game because I'm so into the story and I want to see where this goes. It took me about 24 hours to beat the game.
Yeah, it's a beefy one for sure.
Huge shout out to it too, of like how they contextualize all the side stuff of, yes, you can do it while you're going there. Occasionally Atreus will be like, oh man, do we have to go right away and do the next story beat?
Occasionally, every time.
You're not doing the side quest, morons. Yeah. There's a lot of great shit there.
It reminds me a little bit too much of beating Mass Effect 3 and being like, Shepard's story isn't over, though. Go do all the side stuff because this story doesn't really end here or whatever. Like, I got a bit too much of it, and it's likely because I wasn't doing side stuff, so
I loved it because I did a lot of side stuff, and I heard some of it, but anytime I heard that, I mean, I guess that was like the devil calling me, where I'm like,
The point that I want to finish, though, is that, you know, as somebody who is if I'm playing a game, an RPG, whatever you want to call it, an open world game, a side quest for fun, I am I want to do all the question marks before I move to the next thing. So for this, it was like, oh man, I did some in the beginning and I had a great time with them. Like, I got to get moving though. I want to go. And so that broke my heart. But then the way they contextualize it, you know, post credits with how the game is going to go and like doing it, it still feels rewarding right now to be doing them, right? It's not like, oh, this is tacked on and I should have done this earlier and that would have helped or done this. It's like, I saw somebody in the chat, which is going crazy. Thanks for all the love. Say, Greg, I saw that the side quests are some of the best in gaming. I would 100% agree with that.
Wow.
And I am that stoked to continue to do them now after credits.
I'm in love with them. Go for it.
I wanted to mention I played on PS5. How about all of you?
Oh, yeah.
I played PSVR.
PSVR? PS4. Performance mode, right? Everybody? Performance mode.
I switched back and forth between. Because they let you on the fly, which shout out to them in terms of just like options. Jesus Christ, this game has options. So many options. And you can turn them on, turn them off, like depending on what scenario you're in. I was very, very impressed with the amount of options. And I spent a lot of time even just looking and just tinkering to see like what things would look like. And at the end of the day, I favored performance over resolution for 90%+ of the game. But there's some times I want to turn it on just to see what it would look like. And like, it's just gorgeous. It's gorgeous without like this game. No matter what, you're making a good call.
Yeah, I wanted to say that I think the game is just insanely polished. I ran into one bug where audio wasn't playing during the cutscene, and lucky for me, I was able to close the game, start it back up, and it started me right there back in that same spot.
I had two of those where it seemed like those scripting bugs where I would talk to somebody, and then, yeah, like the audio would not play, but you'd see their motions, and I'm like, oh, that's interesting. But then, yeah, I'll reload. And I'm also not – I know there's like a day one patch, and so there's a chance that stuff's already fixed. But that was like very minor bugs, right? There was nothing that was like, oh, I just fell through the world or anything.
The
like
only
that.
Bug I had was one they had in the email that of like, hey, we know this is a bug. We're already going to have it fixed for day one. And even though I was able to power through it and get through.
I've never played a game this polished, ever. Like, there's a bug here or whatever. But it's like, I mean, when I think of polished video games, like you think of like – Nintendo's Mario games, like their 3D Mario games and things like that. It's just like this is technically so much more impressive than anything we've seen. But like, this is the most polished, technically impressive game I have ever played, where and it's just constantly blowing me away from every single aspect of its technical stuff, whether it's the sound, the visuals, the way those all kind of go together, the feel of the controller, the use of the DualSense and the haptics, all that stuff is just, it feels how it should.
I just wanted to get that out there before. There's a shit ton of bugs on day one. Everybody goes, what the fuck? I thought you all said it was polished. Like, it was really, really polished for us in case it is broken for you all. Don't blame
us. Day one
patch
just comes through.
Don't get mad at
us. Nobody has faces for some reason. It's like the Assassin's Creed community.
Yeah. The reviewers fucking lie. Like, no. Chill the fuck out. It was great for us.
One thing I wanted to say at the top is just one of my favorite things about video games is when you're playing them and every single thing you're doing, you're simultaneously like, I'm enjoying what I'm doing and I can't wait to do the next thing.
Yeah.
And Last of Us 2 really did that for me, where it's like, oh man, I'm so excited to be in this monster closet right now, because once I'm done with it, I get the next story beat. And once I get that story beat, I'm going to be excited to know what happens next. And then the puzzle's going to be cool. And this game does that so well, where I feel like I'm constantly in a thrilling fight with a bunch of enemies, and then a boss comes out of nowhere and I'm fighting the boss, and then I get rewarded with some story stuff, and then I'm going out and doing a puzzle and I get distracted by a side quest, and every single thing I'm doing is constantly rewarding. The thing I just did feels like it's in the background still benefiting me for whatever reason, whether it's like oh man, like I left that character story-wise, they're off doing their thing, when they get back I'm gonna learn some new shit. And it's like, it just feels really well designed, almost in a way of like, I've been playing a lot of Marvel Snap that might surprise people, right? But there's the mobile gamification that has gotten so refined over the years of like people just like seeing the numbers go up, people just like feeling like they're getting something, where it's like, I do this to get that thing, to get me more of this thing, to get me more of that thing. And you're just going in a circle, but it feels good.
Sure.
God of War does that, but instead of it just being numbers going up, it's really, really, really incredible performances and story reveals and gameplay that makes you feel like a badass. And that is just such a rewarding cycle on the level that it's at in terms of its the polish of rewards of its gameplay and story and the way that it combines those two. That to me is what makes this game a step above just... It's why it's a 5. It's why this being a sequel to one of the best games of all time, and I'm this glowing on it. It's because it did something special, and that to me is the special thing.
Yeah, I think that they improved on so many of the things that they could have improved on with 2018. A lot of the complaints that they heard from us and from a lot of other people was like enemy variety.
Sure, yeah.
And they doubled and tripled down, I think, on enemy variety. I think they did such a great job, and I think even in the beginning there's these little lizard bad guys, and I feel like Sony Santa Monica made those to make us pissed off and be like, all right, sorry about all the shit talking about enemy variety. You don't have to like go this hard, because these little fuckers are the worst, dude. These little lizards are the absolute worst.
Now they're exploding, fuck!
Yeah, now they're doing too much of this, all right? Enough with the enemy variety.
There's like these ethereal orbs that you fight at quite a few points in the game where I was like, all right, we can scale back on the enemy variety. Like, I'm tired of these guys, right? Because it's very much like, now I'm just fighting, just forces of energy. And yeah. We've gone too far.
I want to shout out, though, they're just a little small quality of life improvements. And one of them, my absolute favorite, is getting to a part in the game where you think you can progress in a certain way and a character goes, hey, we don't have what we need for that. Oh, love it. Yeah. Absolutely love that. Because that happened to me. 100%. I hadn't played God of War 2018 since the game had come out. And I had just recently beat it before hopping into this one. And there are several moments that I don't remember just because I have a terrible memory. And I'm running around and somebody in my Twitch chat is like, oh, Andy, you don't have what you need for that yet. I was like, oh, thanks for that. Appreciate that. And I love that in this game, they are letting you know that all the time. Hey, I don't think we got what we need for that, Dad. Like, okay, cool. Let's move on to the next thing then. I can fuck off and not be like, what's going on with this puzzle? Am I supposed to not? No, I just don't have the tools yet for this. Perfect. I can move on. I think that they had a lot of those things in mind. Now, that could take away the mystery for some people. It takes away a lot of the frustration for me, so I appreciate
it. I don't think it takes away the mystery. And I mean, I can't speak for everybody, obviously. It didn't take away the mystery for me. I enjoyed that. And then again, I feel like I'm having two very distinct playthroughs of the game, right? Where there was the golden path, run through and do everything, which is very like, okay, cool, to this. And now that I'm off doing the side quests, I feel like the side quests are often put out into the not open world, you know, Hyrule field, open zone. And it is that idea of like, oh, I walk in, I'm like, oh, this is awesome. There's three little blue side quest markers in a very tight spot. I can knock these all out. But then you get there and it suddenly becomes the puzzle. I was doing one yesterday that's kind of reminded me of like the deserts or like Arizona or something, where it's like this rock, it's sun splashed, it's all these things. But it is that thing of like, well, I knew I need to get up to that. You know, Kratos even walked in, one of my companions mentioned, oh yeah, blah, 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 that thing up there. And I was like, okay, cool. How do I, and then I start reverse engineering getting there, but then I'm going that way, but then I can't get through this thing, but I'm looking for that. And suddenly I'm doing all three of them on like a spinning plate way at the same time, not feeling overwhelmed, but also feeling like it's a puzzle unto itself of how to unlock this thing to get to these next ones.
I'm somebody who does like the frustration, right? I do like the mystery of like, all right, how the fuck do I solve this thing? Let me sit here and really think about it and really solve it. And that was one of my complaints with the 2018 game, because there are so many puzzles that I would get to. And I'm like, all right, let's figure this out. And 10 seconds in, either Atreus or Mimir is like, hey, brother, why don't you go do this? And I'm like, no, shut up. I want to solve this by myself. Like, please, shut up. Let me do this by myself. It's the same thing where we talk about in Horizon Forbidden West this year, where it's like, Aloy talks a lot.
Maybe
I should go find one of them. Like, Aloy, let me figure it out by myself. But I do think there's a good balance here where usually the moments where that has happened in the game for me, they've not directly solve the puzzle. It is more of a nudge of
sure.
Like,
yeah,
let's look.
They
up.
Go and they look. Yeah. They look at something, right?
Yeah. They stand there and they just stare at a thing. And I'm like, all right, what are they staring at? What is this game trying to tell me? And it is not them solving the puzzle for me. And it's some of the side stuff that I did do. There was one side quest that was essentially like this environmental puzzle of doing a bunch of elevator shit and having to figure out how to navigate this elevator maze to get to the final thing. And they shut up the whole time. They did not say a word in terms of like,
you're like, man, you should use that elevator, brother.
Yeah, and like, I couldn't figure that shit out, but I love the fact that I couldn't figure that shit out, right? Like, yeah. I like having to struggle through that shit. I think that is what makes puzzles fun, right? Is you having to like really rack your brain around, all right, what do they want me to do? What are they telling me? And the fact that in that side stuff, I got that experience. And then when it comes to the main stuff, there was that balance of them hinting toward solution, but not necessarily giving me the solution. Absolutely love that.
The puzzles were really interesting to me. I would say that overall, I loved them. But I think that it is that love and how great the majority of them are that when things don't work how I think that they should, it kind of felt like, oh, this seems really off. And mainly what I'm talking about is the puzzles that involve the treasure chest with the three different symbols on them. And then you have sure. to kind of find them around.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
all over the first game. They're all over the second game. And they're physics-based mainly. And it, of course, makes you think of Breath of the Wild with the shrines and being able to kind of use all your abilities. And what I loved about Breath of the Wild is there's the way to do the puzzle, but then they're also like, well, you just need to hit the thing. If you figure out a way to hit the thing, you got it, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I love that because it really felt like it rewarded you for thinking outside of the box. It rewarded you for knowing your tool set and all that. I feel like in this game, there's their way they want you to do it, and that's it. And that can sometimes get frustrating because there's the illusion of physics-based things going yeah. on with the weapons that you have and the way that you're using them, specifically with the way that you throw the Leviathan axe, where it's like, okay, you throw it, and you imagine it's like, okay, you can arc it, or you can this, or you can that. There was multiple times where I definitely wasted 5 minutes trying to hit something when it looked like I could and it felt like I could. And I know that I could hit at that spot, but they actually wanted me to hit it from a different angle.
Oh, really?
And so that would, like, kind of frustrate me. But it would only frustrate me, and I'm saying this as a criticism, because that only stood out when it was bad because it's so good 99% of the time.
There's I haven't run into that. I've had it the other way where I'm throwing and throwing and I'm changing my arc and I'm doing the thing and I'm using more power and then I get it and I'm like, oh, I felt good to get that one. There's one that I have that's underground that I see all three of them. I hit all three of them and then they just reset. And then I'm hitting them in the right order, the order, and they just, and I'm just like, I don't know what the fuck. And it's that thing where it's like, I'm here on the review talking about it, right? It's still scratching in the back of my brain. And Mimir and Atreus have not said shit about what I'm doing wrong. And I'm like, I'll figure this out.
There was less like timed ones, right? I feel. Where in part one, I feel like there were several ones where it's like, you got to do them really, really fast before they reset. And I feel like I didn't experience that.
I think it's because there are more, I feel like they added one or two new ones that are like
variations.
So I think it's a bit more varied. So you're not seeing those ones as much.
Gotcha. There are a ton of them, though. But that's another thing is in the menus, like you can add more time. Like they allow you, it's not just kind of like all the different accessibility stuff and approachability, like all of it, I'm so impressed with because it's not just make the game easier, make the game harder, make the game faster, make the game slower. It's like they get to the point of like not just the game, but like specific things, like combat things or puzzle things, or do you want aim assist just for the puzzles? And I'm like, it's just great because that's not how I want to play the majority of the time. But there was a couple times I was like, you know, I know what I need to do. It would be easier if I just did it this way. And
sure.
They just allowed me to enjoy the game more. It's like, I think that that's just such a win overall.
One of the things I want to shout out are the different areas in the game. Like, people out there already know that in this game, they've opened it up to where you can visit all the realms. And even the realms that we've been to in God of War 2018 feel different, right? And
like, 100%.
That's part of Fimbulwinter. You know, it's a new season. It's cold out here.
Jizzy.
Fimbulwinter out here. And that has an effect on, like, you know, Midgard is all, like, snowy now, right? Like, there's shit going on here, right? But you visit realms that you've been to in the past, and they find ways to keep it fresh but also keep it familiar. Like, again, it feels like picking up God of War 2018 back up from where you left off. But they're... It almost feels like you're visiting the same city, but a different neighborhood, where it's like, oh, shit, I didn't know this place was around the corner, right?
Yeah.
And it makes it...
They got a Wendy's here. Nice.
They got a Wendy's here, yeah. And again, it makes this world feel big in a way that I wasn't expecting them to pull off in this way.
And to double back on that, I was so impressed that multiple times... It's never... Not once did it quite hit this level, because it's one of the greatest moments in gaming history, but I got the vibe of returning to Shadow Moses in Metal Gear Solid 4.
Yeah, it's just because
we're going back to places that are familiar, but so different at the same time, that it just feels like... It feels like, oh my God, I'm visiting something. And like, a thing I loved about this game is that it kind of feels like the best Disneyland ride ever. Like, a lot of Disneyland rides, you're kind of just chilling in a boat going down, and there's, like, story happening around you. There's a lot of that in this game, obviously a lot more interacting, but they just, like, kept the entire thing, like, feeling like a roller coaster that is also giving you story the entire time. And I just love how that constantly has those moments of reflection and moments of, like, reveals. We're at a point now with God of War where we love and revere it so much that, like, even something that came out just a couple years ago, we're nostalgic for these areas and characters and, like, iconography and things that, like, it felt like when we saw Shadow Moses. And that's really cool.
One thing I want to shout out as well, too. Oh, God, I forgot I was going with this. You said something that triggered it for me, and I totally forgot.
Well, you talk about the Shadow Moses moment, right? And it's just like, there's so many good moments in this game that I think you can tie into movies and things like that. And like at the end, there's not the end, obviously, but towards the end, there's just this one fucking moment. And I was just like, holy shit. Of like, and not a sad moment. Or like, let's fucking go.
Oh, I said, let's
fucking go. Yeah. So we're talking about the same thing then. Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. You're talking about the nostalgia of the areas. I want to bring up characters because the scope of this game is expanded, right? You're seeing more characters in this game. And to steal a quote from Janet Garcia, I think she said this about God of War 2018, and I'll use this for God of War Ragnarok as well. The drama is so thick. Even with the added characters, there is so much tea, and there is so much drama, and there is so much, like, every character feels like they matter to some extent. And it takes me back to, I remember listening to Greg's God of War 2018 review, and one of the things that Greg compared God of War 2018 to was a stage play of, like, there's a cast of characters here that you keep returning to, and like the one shot camera keeps everything grounded and keeps everything cinematic, but also, you know, you're dealing with this this story that is grounded and that is focused on these characters. Even with this expanded character roster, they still keep that energy. And I think they even double down on the stage play thing, right? Like, the one-shot camera
well,
is still
it's
there.
Well, now a movie. Like, I think the cast of characters they've introduced, the scope, like, this is a feature film.
It's an epic.
Yeah. Yeah. And the epic's a great way to put it, right? And I think that was something people, when we were doing 2018's re-review and looking through criticism of that even, there was the conversation of, like, it's more grounded in quotes, right? It doesn't have as many epic moments as God of War before, right? When you're, fighting a giant or doing whatever and stuff. This one is epic.
Pure epic.
Yeah. Epic start to finish, right? Yeah. Like, I feel like they've really blown the roof off and shown the scale. And it's still the stage play or even a really great movie in the way that, like, it's not, and no offense, Fast and the Furious or some big budget blockbuster where it's just about the set pieces. It's still about the characters. It's still about that, but it can go that way. And what I love with the characters and what we're talking about here is the fact that I talk about Kratos growing, right, and him changing, and him solidifying himself as the best story and best character in games. His supporting cast and his surrounding cast also do that, even to the point that I think it's something rare to see in video games, I think, at least to this level of depth, where when you reunite with people like you've seen before, and I mean in this game, not even like you reunite from, I haven't seen you since 2018. You reunite in this game with people you left out to go do their thing. Their lives have moved on in those moments, and they make references to it, and they say things or things happen, and you as the player are like, wait, what is happening? And they're like, yeah, we'll talk about it later. It's like, that's cool. Like, I like that this feels like a living,
breathing
world.
And then you talk
about it later. Yeah, and you do. Yeah, you get back to
like, that is what I was talking about, the reward cycle. It's like there's the world feels like it's living and it's happening. And I think that like you mentioned it for a second, but the fact that this game also does the one-shot camera thing the entire game, and the first game was so impressive for doing that, but the fact that that one was relatively smaller and this one has the epic crazy scale that it does constantly throughout the game, and the camera is still that one shot. I love it because it of course these characters that leave you are still living their lives and having their journeys and their stories are continuing because we are live with Kratos. Like, it's, there's no cuts, there's no like, meanwhile, whatever. It's like there's, everything's happening, and it is so impressive.
And that brings me back to the stage play thing of the creativity they use with the one-shot camera this time around has blown me away way more than even in the first game. And the first game for me was a thing of, all right, cool, yeah, one-shot, all right, that really solidifies the style here. But it's not something that I don't think we've never seen before, right? Like, we played, I don't know, this probably isn't the greatest comparison, but we played, like, first-person games like Portal or, like, Half-Life, where it is. It's technically a one-shot camera, right? You're grounded in that same camera position throughout the entire game, right? God of War 2018.
But there's cutscenes in those games.
For sure.
That's the difference.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, not in Portal. Well, in Portal 1, I guess not. But that's a different reveal, right? Yeah. Different game. But God of War Ragnarok, I think, takes it and elevates it so much where if I was working at Sony Santa Monica, at some point I would have been like, yo, let's just fucking, like, let's just do a camera cut to do this thing that we want to do, because, like, we really got to, this might be too much in terms of pushing this. But the way that they commit to it and the way that they have these transitional moments of, all right, like, we got to, Kratos has to go to sleep. Like, how are we going to do this? How are we going to simulate a night of sleep?
He got to go night-night.
He has to go night-night. How are we going to simulate that with a one-shot camera? And they pull that shit off. Like, very creative, very impressive, and I think really does help solidify the what they're going for just in terms of the tone and the cinematic presentation of this game.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did an absolute fantastic job. I want to talk about maybe some stuff that we didn't love.
But how about...
We still never talked about gameplay, but yeah.
How about before we do that, we take a word from our sponsors.
Oh.
Are you wasting money on subscriptions? 80% of people have subscriptions they forgot about. Do you know how much your subscriptions really cost? Well, most Americans think they spend around $80 a month on subscriptions, when the actual total is closer to more than $200. That's right! You could be wasting hundreds of dollars each month on subscriptions you don't even know about. There's this app Tim loves using that takes care of all of that for him. It's called Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill. The app shows all your subscriptions in one place and then cancels for you whatever you don't still want. Tim loves it. It's great. You should use it. Rocket Money can even find subscriptions you didn't even know you were still paying for. You may even find that you've been double charged for a subscription. To cancel a subscription, all you have to do is press cancel and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. Get rid of useless subscriptions with Rocket Money now. Go to rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny. Seriously,
It could save you hundreds of dollars per year. Cancel your unnecessary subscriptions right now at rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny. That's rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny. Go deeper into the canals of Numenor, the mines of Khazad Dûm, and more with the official The Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power podcast. Host Felicia Day and several special guests provide an inside look at the groundbreaking series and what it took to bring Middle-earth to life. Each episode of the official podcast features exclusive interviews with the series showrunners J.D. Payne and Patrick McKay, including the very first full breakdown of the incredible season finale. Felicia goes behind the scenes with the cast and crew to bring you jaw-dropping stories and Easter eggs you won't want to miss. Watch The Rings of Power on Prime Video and listen to all 8 episodes of the official The Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power podcast for free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app now. What's the first thing you do when you wake up? Is it checking up on your credit score? Didn't think so. At Chime, that's exactly what they do. Their members see an increase of 30 points on average, with payday up to 2 days early and fee-free overdrafts up to $200. So start your credit journey with Chime. Sign up takes only 2 minutes and it doesn't affect your credit score. Get started at chime.com/kfgames. That's chime.com/kfgames. The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by Stride Bank NA pursuant to the license from Visa USA Chime checking account and $200 qualifying direct deposit required to apply for the secure Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card. Regular on-time payment history can have a positive effect on your credit score. Impact to your score may vary and some user scores may not improve. Out of network ATM withdrawal fees may apply except at MoneyPass ATMs in a 7-Eleven or any Allpoint or Visa Plus Alliance ATM. So, again, start your credit journey with Chime. Sign up takes only 2 minutes, doesn't affect your credit score. Get started at chime.com/kfgames. That's chime.com/kfgames.
Greg Miller.
Hey, how are you?
Earlier in the show, you wanted to talk about gameplay.
Sure did. Then Andy asked the question we forgot about hours, and then we went off on a tangent for this last thing because that's how much there is to talk about this game. But I do want to talk about gameplay because I feel like it's something we keep getting hung up on, story and the epicness and all this stuff and side quests and all that's true and all that's great, and I want to talk about it. But I do want to know impressions of the actual gameplay. Because, again, for me and Bless, when we were doing the PS I Love You, it feels like God of War 2018, and then we got to the cutoff, and I was like, I wonder what happens next. And what happens next is a big thing, and there is a big change, and then the game's off to the races as to what the game is. But it is still the God of War 2018 combat, right? It's refined a bit. It's changed a bit, but you are still using Leviathan Axe. You are still using your blades. You are still using your shield. And I think at this point it's even hard for me to maybe put into words, but on our replay of 2018, at times I wasn't bored with it at all, but it was okay. This is,
it felt like going through the motions.
I'm doing this to get to the thing because I want to get to the thing, and that's granted a game I've already played, so I knew where the story was going, and I was trying to get to my favorite scenes or favorite moments. Right? I didn't have that here, and I don't know if that's just me. Where the beginning I was playing, I was like, all right, it's 2018. Then I kind of felt like we were talking about in the preview, me and Janet, at a second of like, oh man, I'm getting my ass kicked a bit here. And then it was, oh well, I need to get in and improve my gear. Okay, I did that, so now I'm doing better. And then it became this kind of thing, I think what you were talking about, Tim, with the reward cycle of being able to go in and be like, man, I am committed to this armor set and doing this with my Leviathan Axe, and I see that I need this resource or this much hack silver. So I'm going to sell this to get that, to improve that blades, to go off and be better and stronger. And like now on the side quests, because again, this narrative part of it obviously has a lot of combat in it, but it isn't, it's more storyline and you're watching the movie, being part of the movie. Whereas the side quests I do feel are more cool. You're in this open area, go do the thing. Oh, there's a bunch of monsters here. Oh, this is what's happening. Blah, 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 blah. I'm enjoying the combat even more now.
Vulgar. Okay, 100%.
Okay. And I'm enjoying the way they keep me on my toes of, yes, there are too many orbs.
Yeah.
And every time the orbs pop up and I accidentally graze one, Kratos, you don't need to yell, they do not, the damage does nothing or whatever the fuck he says.
Every single time
I'm like, I know, Kratos.
Use your shield. Use your
Atreus, you know to shoot the arrow. You've seen these balls a million times. I gotta tell you, hit the thing. You know what I mean? I know this isn't a real complaint. It's just a funny thing to hear that dialogue. Or yeah, and then Mimir of like, what's the
good? Use your shield, brother.
What's the use of having a shield, brother?
I'm trying my best,
I missed the fucking
backseat gaming over here.
Fuck off my back.
I love that Blessings with Mir, like in the beginning of the episode, was great, and then it just turns into Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. Brother, let me tell you something.
Hulk Hogan voicing with Mir, I feel like would fit, surprisingly.
But anyways, yeah, these open sections with the combat, like I am still, you know, now, we're up to 26, so I'm probably closer to 30 now, right? Because I've continued to do side stuff, and it's like, I'm still excited for that. And you know, I see these different enemies that, you know, I don't think they're enemies we've seen before are still in this game, but there is so much variety that I don't feel like I hate the enemies I've seen before as much as I might have hated them in 2018. Because these motherfuckers made a rock with the giant chest that does the thing, and I got to hit and get the thing and throw it back at their chest. I'm like, I was so sick of them in 2018 on my original playthrough, not even on my replay, that when they pop back up in this one, I was like, you motherfuckers. And then like, I've only fought like three or four of them or whatever. I'm like, all right, you know, at that level, I don't mind you that much. And this is back into side quest stuff, but still into gameplay and back into the epic conversation. I appreciate that what could just be a side quest of get the thing, do the thing. All right, cool. You've done the errand. Thank you. Still has those moments. Like last night I was off doing one that I felt was kind of normal, whatever the thing. And like a dragon picked us up and we were in the air and then I was falling through the air and I'm falling through the clouds and I land with the shield. I'm like, fuck, that was awesome. You know, I mean, this isn't a story beat. This is just something they've put in here. I digress though. The combat itself, I am a Blades of Chaos man. That's where I stick. That's where I main. That's what I put all my XP into as fast as I could to improve. And I just fucking love using those still this deep into the game. Am I wrong, Bless? Where is combat for you?
I found myself still hitting that place where I felt like I was going through the motions.
Yeah.
And that was, I think I mentioned that in my preview in the first few hours, again, where it does feel like you're picking the game back up. And the combat improvements, you know, where the story feels like in some places they're taking big steps and it feels like they're expanding like in very big ways. The combat improvements for me felt incremental. Like the big improvements came from enemy design and enemy variety and placement and map design and world design. But in terms of the combat itself, for me, it felt like playing more 2018 with a few more bells and whistles, which, you know, 2018 had really fun combat. So I was okay with that up until maybe about 18 to 20 hours in, where I felt like the gameplay for me had overstayed its welcome in the main narrative, but I was still invested in the story.
Yeah.
Right. Like I was deeply into the story. I was like, all right, what's next? What's like, I want to know what the next character turn is. Like what is the next big beat? But I'll get to a combat scenario and it is like, all right, turn off my brain, do the thing, like fight the way I've been fighting for the last 18 hours.
Dissociate for a bit.
Dissociate for a second, right? All right, let's get to the next puzzle. All right, it's another one of these. Let's figure out the thing. And like, it's not designed badly by any means, but for me, the evolution isn't there enough to get me excited about it the way I get excited about, like, I don't know, other games that have like this level of combat in it where, you know, go for it.
And my question would be then, why, like, are you going to, and I know you're not a platinum guy, are you going to keep going? Are you going to play more of the side quests? Are you going to do that kind of thing?
No. And it's tough because in the last few days, as we've been approaching this review, I have been picking it back up to do side stuff, to clear it out, and to, like, because I beat the game in, like, 4 to 5 days. I locked in and I hyper fixated on this thing, probably because I was sick. And I beat the hell out of this game pretty quickly. And then I took like a little bit of a break there. And then
I fucked up
that game. As we've been approaching this review, I wanted to pick it back up to kind of go back and clear side stuff and refresh myself on the gameplay and the feel of the game. And I just found myself being like, I think I'm good. I think I'm done here. I don't think I got to do the side stuff. And I think that obviously that's not going to go for everybody. Like Tim is super into the side stuff. It sounds like you're super into the side stuff. I think I'm really here for the main narrative.
So
and main
here's my question then for you, very specific, very pointed, and it will be heated, ladies and gentlemen. Why do you like the combat of Elden Ring? Because I assume that's one of the things you're pointing to in terms of like, there's other games where you like the combat and you don't mind. Why do you like that more than you would like God of War Ragnaroks? Because it's similar, right? Of like dodge, parry, you know, roll, get behind an
enemy.
Yeah,
but I still think it's better in Elden Ring. Like I think tighter. I think the boss fights are better designed in Elden Ring, and I think enemy design in general I prefer in that game. And like
in the way that we talk about how enemies in some shooters are bullet sponges, I feel like here they're melee sponges a lot.
Sure. Yes, sure, 1,000%. Right, and I think the risk and reward factor in games like Sekiro as well, because like I think Sekiro is probably one of my favorite the combat systems in a video game ever, right? And I'll even pull games like Sifu and many other combat games into the mix. I really like high risk, high reward, and I think God of War hits that middle point of character action and Souls-like action that is more so No, it is, you know, you have a lot of health. Enemies have a lot of health.
Mashy.
Yeah, and it is very much, hey, mash, have fun. You know, in one of the preview things they did for God of War, they talked about playing with your food, right? Sony Santa Monica has this ethos of we want you to play with your food. So here is the Leviathan X, here is the Blades of Chaos, here are all these different upgrades, here's the different upgrades you can give to Atreus. Here are all these tools you can use to play with your food and have fun and be creative in combat. But I think that leads to less of the, you know, edge of my seat, oh, am I gonna make it feel that I think I really enjoy of those kind of combat systems. It is more of a, all right, mash, you know, have fun, you know, be laid back, die sometimes, but for the most part, you're not, like, you're not getting through by the skin of your teeth.
Oh, man, I am, except for when I turn the corner now, where I am now, where I feel like Kratos again. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like, and it didn't take me all the 30 or 26
game makes
hours.
You feel like Kratos.
Look at me, I got a six-pack, I don't know. I really miss Calliope. I'm sad. No, but it's that thing where I feel empowered by it now, and I think I am playing with my food, and I don't know if you ever did. I think 2018's replay, again, for on PS I Love You, a great show everybody should watch. Remember, today's the FAQ. If you have questions based on any of the reviews you've read, kindoffunny.com/PSILY. We'll answer with Janet later. But even with 2018, remember I talked about, like, I made a huge mistake replaying 2018 where I did a new game plus. So I came in
decked out.
Yeah, I was just destroying things in two hits, and it was super boring because it was the same thing. This game and the build to it, and that's a great thing of play with your food, because I forgot all about that.
Yeah.
It was for a while that I wasn't, and I was just like, R1, R1, R2, R1, R, you know what I mean? And I was like, all right, whatever. And then it got to a point where I was having the skin in my teeth battles, and I was actually paying attention a few to my upgrades, and it was all of a sudden of like, bam, bam, slash, slash, throw you up in the air, throw my blades into you, pull you in, smash you some more, and then I've already used my runic attacks on this. I'll switch over to Leviathan Axe, use those, smash that. All right, what's my new, circle button move or whatever, I forget they call them, or if I got a glaive, this is cool, whatever, you know what I mean? Like, the special, not runic attacks, artifacts, is that right? Whatever. One of the special moves.
There's a lot of shit.
There's so much shit.
Dude, don't even, that's the menus and everything else. But what I'm saying is, there's a flow now to my combat that I'm really into, and again, I can't wait to go back to. And again, not that it feels like a completely different game, just the side quests focus on combat and the open zones, as we talked about, right? Which I enjoy exploring because it gives you those story beats. You have those conversations. You hear Mimir talk to Atreus or whoever, and they engage more. And what's like, it's all great, and it's still what I want. It's still the story stuff, but then it's also I feel like before, for the narrative, right, you're cranked to 75 story, 25 combat, and then for the side stuff I'm doing, right, it is more 75 combat, 25 story, and I'm getting what I wanted.
One thing I want to bring in Andy, who's my From Software brother in arms, but one thing I do want to address, because like a lot of chat is like, I'll just up the difficulty, and it's not necessarily a difficulty thing, because I'm God of War 2018, I did fight the Valkyries, and I was like, I think it comes back to the sponginess of the combat and just a different methodology and combat design that God of War goes for, because it is, for me, the play with your food thing isn't invalid, right? And I think God of War 2018 and this one have a great combat system. This is not me saying the combat system isn't great. It's more so me saying
for different reasons.
It's great for different reasons, right? And I guess the play with your food methodology, that is, here's all these tools, now chop them up and, like, you know, spar back and forth with these enemies for I don't know, for what feels like a bullet spongy amount of time, just doesn't do it for me as much as many other games, right? Not just Elden Ring. I just got done playing the Wolong Fallen Dynasty demo about a month ago. And even that combat system, off rip, I was like, oh, this is my shit right here. And like, I don't know if you know, if you understand where I'm coming from with that.
No, I do. I do. I think it's really tough to put into words, but I think you're nailing where I think they're great for different reasons. I think when Tim mentions, Andy, you'd really dig this character action game, I would end up liking it for different reasons because of its flashiness, because I think God of War is a lot more aesthetically pleasing to watch, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it feels better to play in terms of how the combat looks, because I think God of War does a great job with the style and with these crazy abilities, and like you were mentioning, doing the runic abilities on your axe and then switch to the blades and the runic abilities there. And then you have that B button, that circle button, whatever the fuck that's called. There's a lot of stuff in this game. And
Baron, artifacts? Does that sound right? I want it. Relic?
Relic.
That
might be right. Relic might be
right. Well, you know, there's a lot of menus. Power of remote play, I'll get back to your answer.
It's fun for a lot of different reasons. I think
it choose Wendy's. That's how you sounded.
Choose wisely, choose weenies. Yeah, I think the game is a lot of fun for different reasons. It's really tough to kind of compare them directly. It really just comes down to taste and whether you have good taste or not.
Yeah, and well, but jumping off of that, Andy, like you bringing up the character action thing, it's like, you know, this is, at the end of the day, a sequel to a franchise of games that was from a different era that was character action games, right? Like the first three God of Wars were more similar to Devil May Cry than they were to a From Software game, right? And to me, I appreciate the meeting in the middle a little bit of it, where it's like, I just love how fun the combat in this game is. I always feel like I'm constantly hitting a whole bunch of buttons, and every button I'm hitting is like, feels good to me, and like switching between the weapons and using all the bazillions of different modifiers, whether they're artifacts, runes, relics, whatever.
We're searching for connections via the internet. We'll be there. Like, we're linking the PS5. We're moments away.
finding the runic summons thing that really fits with your vibe, and then finding the right light runic and heavy runic attack because they do different things. I don't understand why there's not a modifier that gives you back health when you parry correctly, because that's my shit. I was just like, maybe I haven't found it yet.
There is.
I
you know what? No, I got a modifier that's like when you do one of those R3 takedowns, you get like a health boost.
Oh, okay.
It's great.
Like just like you know, they in those moments, I don't want to really spoil what happens with the shield, but like you get like the hey, this is a high risk, high reward sort of ability. It's like, well, give me a reward then.
Yeah.
Like, give me health back, or you know, I think they give you rewards in other ways. But
And for me, I think the play with your food thing works when it is, because right now, right, I'm thinking about any given combat sequence I'm having in God of War Ragnarok, right? And it is, all right, there's a group of enemies. Take out the Leviathan axe. Hack at them. All right, cool. Now let's do, you know, my L1, R1, light, maybe runic ability? I forget. Now I'm with Greg, where I'm like, fuck, what do they call it?
I think it's a relic. The runic abilities are the ones you have attached to the weapons, and the relic is the thing you put on circle.
Okay, so it's the runic, right?
I can't show you. We're right there, ladies and gentlemen. Just hold
show the
on,
crowd,
everybody.
Show the crowd.
I do my L1, R1 for my light runic, do the L1, R2 for my light runic, or for my heavy runic, right, which are like these two special abilities. Switch my Blades of Chaos. All right, control the room for a while. All right, do my two runic abilities with my Blades of Chaos. All right, now like I see that enemy has their stagger meter up quite a bit. Let me switch my fists and fucking fuck these guys up.
Yo, it is really weirdly satisfying to just punch a motherfucker.
Yeah. And like it's a great balance, right? Because it is. All right, if I want to get their stagger up, cool, I'm using my fist and I'm punching them. I'm punching these motherfuckers in the face, and I'm pressing L3 or R3 to take them down. And it is a really fun like
relic. It's a relic ability.
It's a really fun loop to be in the combat, right? And I think just for the thing for me is by the time I got 20 hours in, I had experienced everything that combat had to offer for me. Where I was like, all right, cool, I'm ready for this for this wrap up. Not in a bad way, just in the way of like if the game was 15 hours long, I don't think I would have had that, right? I think it just that. The gameplay and the combat on the main story, Overstate is welcome just a little bit for me.
Just looking at this, I want to keep playing.
I want to jump in there real quick. Something that I really enjoyed, and just again being really top level with this, I appreciate how much the game varies the abilities that you have based on like who is with you, how things are being played at different times. Where I love that. You kind of, I feel a little differently than Blessed, that the moment I started to feel like I've done a lot of this, I'm doing something different. And I feel like that kept happening throughout the main game. And especially I'm with Greg with the side quest stuff, where because the balance of combat to story is off, like that's really where you get we talk a lot about the first game where Mimir is in the boat and we're all like, we just wanted to keep listening to the story, so we didn't like dock yet. This game has even more ways that they have those moments, and some of them tricked me. There was like a lot of times I'd be doing something, and like they're telling, like doing story stuff, and then they do the I'll finish this later. I was like, I didn't realize that was a like
same
an optional like thing. I thought that was like super important, and that is always leading you to like really fun combat situations that I feel kind of allowed me to anytime I wanted to. I just got this new upgrade or whatever, and I want to test it out. I always felt like I had the ability to test it in a satisfying way.
Yeah.
Like, you get the upgrade, and you can either keep going straight, but if you go right, there's a group of motherfuckers that are perfect to get ripped up by whatever you just got.
Now, Greg, you mentioned that, like, you mained the blades or whatever, but there are moments where it's like, Well, this one, you need the ice because it's weaker to it or whatever.
Yeah, 100%.
So, like, did you find yourself kind of balancing that in any way, like, later on down the line?
Yeah, it's one of those things where you run into enemies, I think. And again, I think towards the end game when the blades are nearly all the way maxed out, you know, leveled up for me. So, it's like they're just doing a lot of damage, I think, period. But that middle section, for sure, it would be like, oh, you are a fire guy. Clearly, I should be using this. Like, kind of like how you used to be middle guy before you upgraded to corner guy.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, I can't use blades on it. But I see an ice guy, I'm going to do that or wheel on him with that stuff. And then, of course, there was one boss fight where I was really stubborn about it, where I was like, all right, clearly they want me to use this weapon. Why don't we use this
weapon?
I was like, how does this work? Like, this works badly. I'll go back to the weapon they want.
There's some good boss fights in this game, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
That's a step up.
Now, this is what's interesting to me. Talk to me about that. Do you think... me and Janet talked.
Just let him like Elden Ring more, bro. What the hell? Just let it.
God forbid someone ask any of you hard-hitting questions. You just want to come out here with your powder ball puff pieces.
Powder ball.
I was like, that's not what I want. What am I trying to say? Powder ball. Puff piece is right.
But like, puff piece is right.
What is a powder ball?
You're thinking powdered softball wig? Questions.
Oh, yeah.
There's powder puff football, right? We're like, I don't know. That's like a high school thing, if I remember.
Yeah,
doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's where the women would play.
Yeah, it's like where the volleyball team would go out and play or something too. Yeah. I doubt they do it anymore because it's incredibly sexist when you think about
for
it.
Sure,
but
for
we grew
sure.
up in a different age.
Yeah.
My question for you about boss fights.
Mm-hmm.
When Janet and I were on PS I Love You talking about getting our teeth kicked in occasionally and dying more, we felt like we were dying more. I feel
dying more in Ragnarok than the first game?
Correct.
Oh, wow. I'm totally the opposite.
But
cool.
I'm dying more in regular old combat fights, regular fights with normal just enemies, right? For me, it's this incredibly bizarre thing that I don't know if it works for everybody. The enemy encounters, the worms, the orbs, the things that I have a like infinitely greater chance dying there than bosses. Bosses I enjoy for the spectacle, for the story, for the conversations you usually have with them. But usually
trying to nail that parry,
that's when I get to breathe. That's when I'm like, all right, cool. Like I'm gonna get through this. Maybe die once. Maybe.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I think for me the bosses were more so the set piece moments, and the reason why I like the bosses this time around even more. Like God of War 2018. The bosses were like you had the main like the dope the villains right you had the can we spoil 2018 is that a thing we can do
we
have the Baldurs of the world right it's like oh hell yeah but then you also have like you fight a dragon and the dragon was cool but also it was just a dragon right whereas in Ragnarok there are bosses the big and small it's like yo all right this is a boss with personality right here
oh that's also worth pointing out that I played it on normal difficulty like I didn't want to get crazy or anything
but I switched around constantly I there was a normal I went up sometimes I went down for a couple things like and I loved that they just let me and it was
I feel
totally
I was dying,
seamless
I was dying to mobs quite a bit compared to big bosses
mob
so I'm right there with you
I'm sorry we have breaking news powder puff in the chat is still happening they say and I have it here. In the United States and Canada, powder puff football games are flag football or touch football games between girls from junior and senior classes or cross-town school rivals. Funds from the ticket and concession stand sales typically go to charity, the senior class, or to a dance. So
they can.
Typically. I didn't expect Wikipedia to have so much information about this thing I vaguely remember as a word from high school.
Are we done talking about bosses? We didn't talk about bosses. Cool.
You don't have anything to say about bosses? You seem like a boss.
Bosses
guy.
Are cool. Boss is great.
You seem like a boss ass bitch.
Oh, I mean, dude, they improved on so many of the issues that I think a lot of us had with 2018. I think like they doubled down on all the stuff that they knew they could improve, and they kept on introducing newer and more grandiose things, and it's spectacle after spectacle. I think they absolutely nailed all that shit. Like, great job to Sony Santa Monica. Introducing all these new elements without the huge game-breaking stuff like that. I think we're just so kind of prepared to expect a shit ton of bugs with brand new big titles like this all the time. I think it was just insanely polished. I wanted to bring up that I feel like they wanted to set themselves apart from a lot of other fantasy and mythological sort of IPs and stuff. Where usually when you meet those characters, they always have European accents, and it's always like an English person or an Irish person. And in here, I think I have like a tiny issue sometimes with the fact that a lot of these are American, and it feels weird where like your name is like Your name is like, yeah.
You meet Thor.
We go hunger.
We got these Europeans this time.
Yeah, it's like Glubeldorf, and the guy's like, hey, how's it going, Atreus? And it's like, yeah. This just sounds weird. It really, it kind of reminds
Thor
me.
Thor like daps you up. He was like, yo, what's good, cuz?
It reminds me a lot of Forbidden West when there's like this really awesome looking like war chief, and he's got the crazy war paint with the awesome headpiece, and he's like, hey, how's it going, Aloy? My name is fucking Robbie. And it's like, this just, there's a disconnect here, and I think
one character in particular where I'm like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
I don't know if you know, like,
or God of War?
In God of War.
Okay.
Yeah. Ragnarok, where I'm like, all right, I understand, like, you know, it's to Andy's point of, like, yeah, a lot of these characters have, like, American accents, which is cool, right? But there's one character in particular where I'm like, where did this accent come from? Like, I need a backstory on, like, what region of Midgard or wherever you're from.
Yeah,
can,
yeah.
Can we just shout out Thor? I forget the actor's name, but the entire time I was like, they really just wanted Josh Brolin to voice Thor.
And, like,
it was such a good Josh Brolin impression.
Yeah, Josh Brolin, and then for me, we see in the trailer, when Tyr's in the trailer, it's like, he reminds me a lot of Ryan Reynolds. There's a lot of, like, that sort of voice intonation. I also wanted to talk about what
you're talking about here. I loved that. Like, it's one of my favorite things.
I do too, but there's, like, every once in a while it sticks out where it's like, oh, man, you just sound like the one kid I had geometry class with in middle school. Like,
I know that it's going to be one of those things where people either vibe with it, don't vibe with it. There's going to be a lot of, like, in the middle and everything. But to me, one of the things that impressed me the most about this game is the writing in general. Not just the story's great. We've talked about the story. But the writing of the dialogue, the writing of just every single thing is, it's so pitch perfect to me, where it didn't matter what character was talking, I wanted to hear what they had to say, not just for lore reasons, just because there's so much actual character to the characters. And I think that for me, it helped that they sounded the way that they did, and it felt like it created this own world where it's not what we expect to hear from these characters necessarily.
Sure.
And they're written in ways that I feel like, even though sometimes they're saying funny words, it's like, it's those funny words are surrounded by words that give enough context that I feel I was always in complete understanding of what was going on, even if they're introducing something that I'm not familiar with when it comes to all the crazy Greek lore or Nordic lore and all that stuff. But I felt like the relatability, it felt like playing an MCU movie, and people will take that as a criticism. I obviously do not, and I think that is a major positive, and I think that it is one of the best MCU movies.
One of the things I tossed out to piggyback off, it won't sound like it at first, but I'll get there. What you're saying is that in the TikTok review I did for Kinda Funny Games, go to tiktok.com/@kindoffunnygames and like it and share it, because it's TikTok and we need help. I put in there in my very short synopsis, right, that my hard drive is full of cutscenes that I would finish.
Dude, me too.
I would finish and, like, I record the last 5 minutes. Yep. That was amazing.
That's why I was so happy that I wasn't the leaker. I was, like, terrified.
But then also, I have notes in my, I jotted down notes for all the quotes to what you're talking about. And that's the thing. Like, we've talked about how beautiful the game is, how great the acting is, how great the story is, and yada yada. For real, shout out to the writers, and not just the writers of, hey, this is going to, we're going to go, I mean, like, the line by line dialogue. Like, that is, Tim, that is like one of the most beautiful things.
Oh my God. And oh my fucking God.
And the use of it in the game, I was like, I need to get this tattooed on me. Like, I love this so much.
And that line is surrounded by lines like it. And it's just like, it's so
it's
cool.
It's when Kratos goes, we fucking popped off.
Like, we fucking popped off. No, but I mean, like,
just like the fucked up thing.
The using swear words is like a choice all the time, right? Because it's like, you can either overdo it, underdo it. It's like, it's a hard thing. It can either make a moment a lot more emotional in whatever way, whether it's like funnier or sadder or angrier or whatever. I think that every swear word in this game is like perfectly placed.
Yeah, same. I agree.
There's a fair amount of them, but I always feel like it's not overdone, and whenever it happens, it adds to the emotion.
It goes
the
back to the accent
experience thing
of, like, the characters talk the way they do to convey a certain kind of, to convey their character, right? To convey who they are. And when swear words are used, I've been very impressed by the, oh, wait, no, we're using this for a specific reason, right? This person is saying this because of where they're at in life, or this person is saying this because of where they're from or who they are. I think it was very impressive.
Yeah. Again, just when sometimes they sound like GTA side characters, that's when it kind of just throws me off.
Yeah.
But I still love the choice overall. I also just wanted to quickly talk about, I'm about to contradict the hell out of myself, so I'll prepare for that. I thought I was an hour away from beating it about five or six different times. But also, while feeling like, God damn, it's still not over. Like, we're still going here. While feeling that way, there were still moments where I was like, ooh, this is rushed a little bit, and this doesn't feel super earned in this moment. Mm. And this is just, like, a tiny kind of sliver, but it's big character moments, right? And there were a couple of those near the end that I was like, this is the part where it feels like, we got to fucking wrap this up, dog. Like, you know, Sony is like, hey, this game has to come out this year. Like, I know you want 6 more months to kind of polish these sequences up. We got to push this out the door. So there was a tiny bit of moments that kind of made me feel like, wow, that's a fast kind of way for this character's already feeling this way. That's kind of, I don't really buy that a whole lot. But aside from that, it was like, you know, there were moments near the end of the game where it's like, damn, dog, we're still going. Like, I'm so glad I started as early as I did, because, like, I started today's session at 3:30 p.m. thinking I'd be done by 5:30, and yeah. It's fucking 8:45.
I wonder how much of that feeling, though, is the, hey, we have an embargo. Hey, we want to do this. Hey, you're trying to do that.
No, I think it's just the way things build up.
Okay.
In a way that kind of makes you feel like it's all coming to a crescendo. Nope, you're going to go through another kind of, like, big lore story moment.
I agree with that 100%. Like, there are so many big story moments that are all great, but the way that they're paced out, it almost feels like too much. I remember on a car ride, like I was telling Greg, it feels like, to a certain extent, like you're eating too much of your favorite dessert.
Yeah.
And at one point, you're like, okay, like, I need to stop eating this dessert a little bit. And so, but again, I still love...
They're still great.
Yeah, I love where they went with it and stuff, but it does harbor the question of, like, would have it benefited it from being two different games? I don't know, but yeah.
That's one of the thoughts I had, like, later on. I was like, this game maybe could have used a little bit more editing, just in terms of, do we really need this moment from this character and this moment from this character? Like, they jam-pack a lot in here. And again, it's all good stuff, but, you know, when it all comes together and you're and in that the last 6 hours and you're like, all right, this is about to wrap up, this is about to wrap up, and it still keeps going. I definitely understand where you're coming from there.
Yeah, it's funny because I definitely had that experience at certain moments, and I started realizing that I was having that anytime I wasn't doing the side quest as well in the area. I feel like the side quests in especially some of the more open areas are designed to kind of like pace out the big story beats.
The drama.
And as I started getting towards the end, because like these guys were all way ahead of me, and I was like, I'm this many hours in. Like, how much longer do they have? They're like, yo, you have way more than you expect. I started panicking, and I was like, I need to get this done. And that is when I started realizing, like, oh wow, these story beats are happening super quick. But that's because I was like main pathing it. But there were a couple choices where like, that did not go how I thought it was, and it felt a little quick, but I bet that you were feeling that way about other things that I didn't, because I was like going out and doing a lot of the side stuff. And also, someone in the chat said that I did all the side quests. I have not done all the side quests. I'm like 35 hours in, and I did more than anyone here, but I have not done nearly all of them.
You probably did like 6 extra hours of side quests.
Exactly.
I think that's the thing where it's like, I thought the pacing of the main story was fine, and I ran through Golden Path, but I definitely had that longing to go do stuff, right? Because there are characters who are like, not even the Atreus on the nose, like, no, can we go do something, Dad? It'll be like, hey, I need you to go do this favor. It's really personal to me. And I'm like, damn, that sounds awesome. Or, hey, go find this thing for me. I'll make you something cool. I'm like, that sounds cool too, but I gotta go. I'll get back to you.
I think the game does a really good job of how it explains what you're doing, whether it's like the main path or a favor or like the side stuff. It's like, you know what you're getting into, and you kind of have an idea of like, oh, this is going to take me this long, and here's what I'm the type of things I'm going to do here. And I appreciate that, because sometimes I feel like in some games, the side quests can be a little bit too vague, and you start doing something like, I don't really want to be doing this, but then you're like halfway down, you're like, ah, I guess I gotta finish it, you know?
Yeah.
Andy, you wanted to move on to something though. What's up?
Did I think I talked about the stuff that I
did. We ever talk about negatives?
About some stuff I wasn't super feeling, which was just like some of the accents and some of the pacing near the end. But I think it's really tough to make a list of things that the game could improve upon. Like, I think the game is that good.
Yeah, that's my thing, is I think what the game does well, it does so well that it's hard to even like want to bring up the negatives that that I felt. Like, they're there, right? There are things that I'm like the things that I've already said, right? Like, the combat isn't necessarily the best combat in the world to me, right? It's amazing, it's great, but I think by the time I got to the end of the game, you know, I started petering out on it. And then, like, I don't know, I feel like that's about it, right? Like, the game is so polished. The game is so cinematically incredible. Like, I know a lot of people in chat, as you've been reading chat, right? A lot of people keep going back and forth on like game of the year, game of the year. And for me, that's not that. That's not as much of the interesting conversation as opposed to like, I don't know if there's any other game that has a prayer of story of the year, narrative of the year compared to this game. Like, the story here is fantastic. The writing here is fantastic. The characters here are like some of the best character writing and character performances that I probably experienced in a video game. Like, that is the stuff that I think people are going to look back at this game at and go, oh man, like, this was a standout in terms of that stuff.
There were a few moments that I feel like the directors, and I want to say that these moments are very rare in this gigantic journey, but there was a couple of them where it's like, oh, this is where the waterworks are supposed to happen.
Sure.
And they're not right here.
Oh, really?
And for the most part, they did work. For the most part, they do pull those emotions out of you whenever a character is kind of like, you know, saying their piece or whatever. But there were a couple of moments where I was like, I'm supposed to be feeling a lot more than I feel right now.
Oh, I'd love to talk to you about those moments.
Yeah, please do.
I cried.
Well, not now.
I cried once in the game. I teared up once or twice, but like there was one moment.
No spoilers, and I mean, don't read into this. You know, it's a Kratos and Atreus story, right? But when we replayed 2018, one of the overwhelming question we got in the PSI Love You mailbag, which you should write in for the FAQ today, kindoffunny.com/PSILY, was, you know, I'm really excited to see if Greg's relationship with this game changes because he's had Benjamin, because he's a dad now, because of all these things.
Because he's gone and spread some ashes.
If he spread Jen's ashes from the top of Sutro Tower. I was answered that question unequivocally, like, no, nothing in this game in 2018 hit me harder because I was a dad. Like, Kratos is a very, I don't feel like he gets to be an open father or even shadow of what I'd want to be as a dad until like very end of the game, right? This game definitely did. This game, the relationship between Kratos and Atreus and the themes they're wrestling with and everything that's going on was affected for me personally of being a dad, just to see how much they love each other, right, in their own ways, and like to see them deal with that and have conflicts, and that it definitely resonated with me.
I think also because I main pathed it, and that
pro gamer
shouldn't be my fault. Like, I just want to point that out there, that like if anybody's like, well, you didn't do side quests, it's like, well, you shouldn't have to in order to kind of get what they're trying to put across, you know. There were a couple of moments that the God damn, I just completely lost my thought.
You're going to compliment me.
Compliment you?
Yeah.
It's not as fast as me, is what I'll say. You're pretty fast.
As you're thinking about that, right? The one thing I want to throw out is like a small nitpick is the menu system. I think you brought this up
at the top.
I didn't really love a lot of the menu system, especially. A lot of information. And
that's not clear. Like, yes. That's the thing, is like they're telling you exactly what it is, but it's kind of like, I don't really know what that means for me. Like, okay, cool. Like the plus five cooldown, plus five this. It's like, there's just a lot of words, and I'm like, I'm just swinging my blades like
it's around. It's a game that wants you to think about your build at least a bit, and I don't think they really help you with it, right? There are so many different modifiers and so many different things. It's like, but does this matter that much for me to really care about sitting here and looking at these menus and trying to navigate like what all this stuff looks like? Like, I think what it might need is like a summary menu that is, here are all the modifiers that you have right now, just summed up, right? If you want to go and change a thing, go here and change it.
There's a couple of modifiers, Bless, that I didn't even know were upgradable until about halfway through the game, where you spend so many points to unlock them and equip them or whatever, but then they have their own like tiers 1, 2, and 3 on them, and I was like, oh, I didn't even.
Yeah,
I knew yes. I could level up other stuff. I didn't know that these were also level upable.
And the way they appear in that menu, like the upgrade menu, it is like, all right, this is upgradable, this is craftable, this is craft. And I didn't understand what that meant until like probably about 4 to 5 hours into the game, where I was like, oh, okay, I get. Like, these ones that I don't have, these ones I do have. I think they could have maybe made that a bit
clearer.
Put them
in separate lists or something, which I know we already have a lot of lists and a lot of things, but it was overwhelming to look at. So I know one of Barrett's points that he really appreciates about it is the fact, though, that, like, you can fully commit to an armor set, a loadout. And once I understood that, that's when I was a bit more like, oh, I get this. Okay. But even then, I went and, you know, traded in all my old stuff. That way I could get the hack silver to upgrade the stuff I had. Even then, it's still listed there of like buy back. I'm like, I guess that's when I'm at the
I love no color rarities. I love that.
Okay.
I think that's a great system they got rid of in this game.
Boss Baby Barrett, of course, the man who wrote Can Kratos Be Better, available right now on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames.
Where books are sold.
A great recap to get you ready for this game. What do you want to say about the gear system and all the chess?
I was just really into it. It reminded me a lot of what I enjoyed with Assassin's Creed Valhalla, where you can, like, very early on commit to, like, this is how I want to look throughout the entire game. And a lot of chat is asking about transmog. I don't remember seeing any transmog, but, like, you can, if there's a look that you want to keep, you can upgrade that up until, like, what I assume is level cap and stuff like that. The other thing I wanted to bring up with the kind of tutorial stuff and, like, learning all of the new things that boiled over so much, and, like, the menus, that there was a certain arrow that I didn't know there was, like, a thing you could do with this arrow until I did a side mission, because I feel like they assumed that I would do that side mission earlier. And so, like,
I think I know exactly what you're talking about.
Like, 10 hours, or, like, after 5 hours of being able to have this, it was like, oh, yeah, this is how I could have solved so many other puzzles that I crossed paths with and I didn't know how to solve and stuff like that. So there is a overabundance of information that I feel like they could have rolled out a little better.
I remember the thing I wanted to mention. I think that because I didn't do side missions, really any side quests except for a couple at the beginning, that the lessons that they're trying to drill into your head are happening, like, a little too much, where they're just like, they're really just throwing it in your face of like, hey, remember. It's like, all right, like, I just heard that like 45 minutes ago. I don't need to hear this all of the time. Like, I feel like a couple different writers wrote on this and they're like, oh, you kept that one in too? No. We wanted to save that story moment for, like, near this part. They're like, well, fuck it, they're all in there at this point. So, like, you're gonna hear these lessons kind of reiterated over and over. And
what are you talking about?
Better.
Oh, gotcha. Oh, okay.
The be better moments, like, there's a lot of be better moments.
Oh, see, I think that they add up in a way. Like, I feel like every time it's used, it has a different meaning and context, and it builds up to, like, be like, you know, who's saying it.
I think whenever you hear it, you're like, oh, wow, that's a great callback. And it's like, oh, we heard it again a couple hours later. And I heard it a third time a couple hours later. And it just kind of, like, it feels like a little too much in some moments. But that's likely alleviated if you play some side missions in the middle whenever you're walking towards your main mission. And Tyr's like, maybe we should get some XP somewhere else, brother. Like, it's like, that's basically what he's saying, yeah.
Going back to the menus real quick, because something that one of my frustrations with it, and again, the menus are probably my biggest criticism of this game entirely, where it's there's just a lot of systems, a lot of currencies, a lot of things that you have to get to upgrade things in different ways. And it's not that they don't explain it. They do explain it, but they normally explain it with, like, menu pop-ups that are, like, unskippable and you have to, like, go through. But they always do it at a time that I'm like, well, I want to get to the story beats, so I'm like, I'll figure this out later. And that's my bad. I get that. But then when I go back and I'm looking at the menu, like, even an hour later, there's just so much, and there's so many different things with slight alterations to a slight thing that I'm not even really thinking about too often that I'm like, huh, okay. And I try to double down thinking about it, like Barrett saying, you can eventually just decide I want to go down this path and do that, and that's great. But then even just, like, going through the menus, I found cumbersome, where it's like the amount of times that I'd hit L1 or R1 to try to go left or right, I'm like, oh, it's actually L2 R2, and, like, I feel like there was a lot of times I'd have to, like, look and be like, what are the prompts to I know where I'm trying to get on the menu, like, how do I get there? And this sounds like a stupid thing to nitpick, but when I played this game for 35 hours and every time I open up the menu I need to think about it, that's not good.
Yeah.
One thing, speaking of that, I want to throw out there is that the skill tree I found to be, like, just fine. I wasn't blown away by the skill tree. And a lot of it just feels like it is, all right, we had that skill tree in God of War 2018. Let's do it again. But, like, add a few different ones. I wish the skill tree felt a little bit more, not expansive, but I guess just different from the one in God of War 2018.
What I would say is even rewarding. Like, they do a new thing in there of, like, or maybe it's not new, actually. Maybe I'm talking out of my ass and I just don't remember it. But, like, you unlock it and then it wants you to do it a certain amount of times that'll then let you do the other thing, right?
That is new.
That is new, just making sure. I don't remember that. And it was like, okay, but then it's like, oh, I don't really want to do this. And then I looked down the list and I'm like, I don't know if I really want to do some of those. And, like, that's where I was talking earlier about maining blades, where it was like, oh, yeah, I do want to grab a guy and pull him in like Scorpion and beat the shit out of him. And that's why I defaulted to that. And again, that's what the whole system is about. I feel like you can look at it feel like you're tossed into the deep end with the menus and the different armor sets and all the different things, blah, blah. But then once you really do, I can, even though I need to use my Leviathan axe in a very specific moment on this thing, there I can main one thing. My build was, defense and vitality the whole way through. And so, once I found the armor set that was best for that and I kept upgrading it, all the other armors became, inconsequential to me. That wasn't about it, right? And that was freeing, of course, to then not have to worry as much about that. I am just looking for hack silver and whatever other thing I need. In the same way of, the thing of, this isn't, I'm not feeling like I'm underpowered for these things, and I know I would never use this move, so I'm not paying too much attention to the skill tree.
Yeah. My favorite move is back, even though it's, the most cumbersome and annoying one to use, is the one where you have to put a bit of a delay between your attacks in order to change your stance. And it's just so annoying to pull off. It just feels so counterintuitive because, so much of the game is mash, 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 mash. And then when you get to this one where it's R1, attack, wait a little bit longer than you normally would, attack again, and he switches sides, and then it's the one that spins around you, and it spins around you again. That same move is in here, and I'm not mad about it. I don't feel like it's lazy. I love the fucking move. It's just still so annoying to try to pull off.
And I think it's also the
when
fact
mobs
that
are fucking hitting
it takes
you
up so much of the skill tree too. Where I think you can upgrade it a few times and
you can add an extra hit or whatever.
An extra thing, right? And I look at it and it's a section of the skill tree and I'm like, I never use this move. I don't really like this move. And so, cool. I guess now when I have all these skill points, I'm eventually gonna upgrade it because it's not the kind of skill tree that is build how you want to play.
It's not effective. It looks dope as hell. That's the only reason why I really like it. You know?
I loved how varied we were talking about the enemy variety, but I love how varied the combat situations are. Because of the weapons that you have and being able to use them in different ways and the strengths and weaknesses the different enemies have, but just the amounts, whether this battle is cool, it's a one-on-one with a big hulking thing, or it's a one-on-one with a human-sized thing, or it's a 1-on-5, or it's a 2-on-10, or it's there's a lot of combos, and I feel like and I didn't replay it 2018, so this might have been the case there, but I was really satisfied with how surprised I was with the combinations. I'm not even gonna even hint at some of them, but I was like, oh wow, multiple times, I didn't expect them to do this. This is a really cool thing. I didn't even know they could do this.
Yeah.
And it's it made me want to use weapons and abilities that I was like, oh, I got that. I never did that thing, but I'm gonna do it here because that makes sense. And that made me I'd finish the fight and be like, yeah.
I did that. One of my big critiques is they gotta find a different way to map either lock on or your Kratos rage move. Because the amount of times I would accidentally activate that thing.
Yeah.
Because I forget what is it R3 to lock on, and then I forget what
L3 is sprint, and hitting both is rage.
And I activated that so many times when I didn't want to, just because I wanted to sprint and lock on it.
I think you can
do that
map in this game.
Problem for these pro gamers.
You can't. Yeah, you
and
can.
I probably should have done that.
Yeah. I probably should have done that too, but I'm a default boy. Default pappy is what
default
they call
boy?
Me.
I mean, I played with the back paddle with the dodge button, and it was just easy mode. Easy mode all day, dude. Good game. You also played.
Yeah,
good
real,
game.
Real
pretty
good.
Agreed.
Real good game. Greg, real quick, I slacked you something.
I hope you check your Slack.
I know. How dare. We end whenever we need to end.
Oh, okay, cool.
We're not trying to go. We're doing an Iron Man VR stream after this, and that's at 11, but... That's at 11.
Cool. We're not trying to... said 10:30. I was just trying. I don't know what your setup time looks like and all of that stuff.
I mean, we'll take as much time as we can get to set up. I guess that's a good point, I guess.
Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. Okay. So then after we're here,
I feel like we're at the natural end.
Totally. So then final thoughts on all of this. I know I talked a lot about we talked about story and gameplay and the production value and all that stuff, but really, I want to give a shout out to the performances and music and how it all kind of works together. I feel like this game, just saying it's polished is one thing and it's a major accomplishment, but there's a level of polish in terms of they had a goal and they achieved it. And that goal was to make me feel things. And I felt things this entire game. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that is, I mean, for anybody that knows me, for anyone that's watched in review, you know what I'm looking for from these movies. And I want them to do something that makes me feel a certain way. Constantly for 35 hours, I was feeling a certain way, and it was whatever way they wanted me to feel at that point, whether it was sad, whether it was laughter, whether it was feeling like a badass, feeling like I needed to be better, all of that
be
stuff.
Better.
I was just right there.
Yeah. For final thoughts, right? I think, obviously the game is incredible. 5 out of 5. The story, I keep going back to the story moments and the twists and the turns and the characters. And for me, when it comes to story, I'm always a sucker for like good character writing and good character moments and character development, and the game nails all that stuff so well, while at the same time just giving you a really good overall narrative to follow. And like, you know, I'm very excited for people to get their hands on it, and I'm very excited for us to get to the discussion of like,
I cannot
what
wait for
happens
the
in the game, right? And yeah, like our eventual spoiler cast, and like being able to actually talk about it in detail, because you know, this review, I think we've done a great job of just talking about it from a broad sense and from the gameplay sense and all the things that we can talk about without ruining the experience for anybody. But I think the real review happens when we can talk about detail, when we can talk about like the characters and the moments and all that stuff. And so, yeah, I'll go as far as say this is a must play. Right, I can't wait for the future PSLVs that we have that are looking back at PlayStation first party and going like, all right, has the hierarchy of power changed? Right,
wow.
where do we put Sony Santa Monica and God of War versus, I don't know, I guess Last of Us and Naughty Dog, right? Like, what does that hierarchy of power look like? I think
all these conversations are gonna be amazing. Yeah, you know, is it, do we think it's better than God of War 2018? Obviously, we'll have our own game of the year conversation coming up. You take God of War 2018 and you put in take God of War Ragnarok, is that better than Last of Us Part 1 and Last of Us Part 2 combined? Like, there's a lot of interesting arguments to come up. And then also, you know, I'm out here saying Kratos is the best character in games. Am I wrong?
That's like a big statement. I'm interested because you said it and immediately I'm like, you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah,
but then I'm like, is he though?
No, but I mean, let me talk about Big Boss. I don't mean like guys with no dumpers. You know, a great story and a great character and a great development. You know what I mean?
You just think Kratos has a dumper? Is that
I was making fun of Mario not having a dumper. Remember how
but
that
like that means
thing.
That you're talking about Kratos having a dumper, right?
I mean, he definitely, have you seen all the muscles on this man?
Big old dumper.
I guess I wasn't looking.
He likes to hide it under that skirt, but I know it's there. All right.
I think the biggest takeaway from this is that we know one title that Blue Point Games is working on. Because if you look in the credits, Blue Point Games is there along with a lot of their production team. So it's like, okay, check that off the box.
They announced that too. That was really cool. Like a few weeks ago, they were like, hey, thanks to all of these support studios that helped us out with this, which was cool.
That's a huge discovery. And I think that's my only takeaway from this game. Otherwise, you know, you can wait for Game Pass. No, the game's really, really great. Absolutely play it if you can. I think it looks great. It plays better. And it teaches you to be better.
It does. It does. And all the gamers out there, this is a big moment. Honestly, like what Sony Santa Monica did, this is a major achievement. Congratulations to every single person involved. And I can't wait for everyone else to be able to play it and have the same conversations we're having. And we're going to continue to have. We are all in on God of War. We're going to do PS I Love You later today, patreon.com/kindoffunny. You can go there to get your
watch live.
Get your questions in at kindoffunny.com/PSILY.
Exactly. Thank you, all your questions. Of course, thank you, PlayStation hashtag game provided by PlayStation hashtag. I don't need the FTC coming after me.
Mm-hmm. And if you are trying to ride the hype of all this, I highly, highly, highly recommend you go to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and check out Barrett Courtney's Kind of Funny special presentation that is him breaking down all of the previous God of Wars through the lens of Kratos as a character. It's awesome. It's about 40 minutes. It's absolutely fantastic, entirely scripted, very different than things we normally do. It is really, really, really good about hyping you up for this game. So definitely check that out. And then we have the spoiler cast coming in just a few weeks. So stay tuned for that. But want to make sure we give everyone time to play as well. So
yeah, that's the big thing. The 21st, but we'll be recording it on the 14th, I believe, which means get all your questions in for the spoiler cast. It's a PS I Love You. So also go to YouTube. kindoffunny.com/PSILY. I will add a new field right now, actually, for spoiler cast questions.
So go check it out. But until next time, love you all. Be better.